Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, welcome back. Hour number two of Hardline here on News Radio 930 WBEN. We heard from Congresswoman Claudia Tenney in the first segment. Let's get the view from the other side of the aisle with Congressman Tim Kennedy. Congressman, good morning. Welcome back to Hardline.
Good morning, Joe. Great to be here.
First off, just want your reaction to the assassination of Charlie Kirk on Wednesday. What does that say about politics in America?
Well, it was a difficult and disturbing and a very emotional week for everyone in America. And the political violence that we saw take place in America this week, there's no place for it. And the assassination of Charlie Kirk was abhorrent and reprehensible. Another attack on free speech, another attack on America, and a continuation of a rising trend of political violence in our country. Whether it was a assassination attempt in Minnesota or on the governor of Pennsylvania or on the president himself when he was a candidate, we cannot accept this as normal. We have disagreement and dissent as a part of our political process, but when it descends into bloodshed and our democracy fades and innocent lives are lost, it's taking our country backwards. And so what we really need to do is turn the temperature down and engage in dialogue like we're doing now. You know, our country is better than this. And what makes our country different and what makes our country great is that we resolve our differences at the ballot box, not at the end of a gun. And so this was a very difficult week, I think, for all of us. And I think it's going to resonate for some time to come.
You know, Congresswoman Tenney said, you know, the same thing, that coming together. And she said that, you know, in Washington, she urged the speaker and the minority leader to have some type of coming together with the members of Congress. And, you know, I mean, we've seen it when it comes to local legislation. Yourself, Congressman Langworthy, Congresswoman Tenney are able to work together, even though being in different parties. And I mean, Congressman, I talk about you and I. I mean, we don't see things the same way when it comes to politics, but we've had some great on-air and off-air conversations. You know, I don't view you as an enemy. Do you think too many people view the opposite political party as the enemy?
Yeah, you know, sadly, that's what the rhetoric is becoming. It's becoming that if you're a Democrat or a Republican and I'm not on your side, you're an enemy of me, you're an enemy of the state, you're an enemy of America. That is wrong. Our country was founded on political discourse and the ability for people to settle their differences by a vote. And so it's so important, especially now, that leaders in this country, but also everyone in this country, is as much as we can lead by example, tone down the rhetoric, but most importantly, use peaceful means and preach peaceful means to an end to our political discourse and utilize our vote as our voice and ensure that we're strengthening our democracy, not providing a potential demise to the democracy because we're creating a unstable, violent atmosphere and climate for others to glom onto. We all have a role to play. That's the bottom line. And we all love our country. And regardless of what side of the political spectrum you're on, it's so important that we recognize the common humanity that we all share, treat others with respect, regardless of our differences, and utilize peaceful means to move our democracy forward.
Senator Langford was on State of the Union this morning on CNN, and he, you know, he said that there are, you know, people on his side of the aisle that could definitely tone it down, look in the mirror, and change the way they address the opposing party. On your side of the aisle, you know, we hear words like Nazis and racist and fascist. Do you think it's time that maybe those words go away? Again, I'm not saying that it doesn't have to be done on the conservative side. I agree with Senator Langford. But do you think it's time to maybe use different language when talking about the president or his administration?
I think everyone has a role to play. And I think everyone has to own their own future in this country. And what we say and what we do, it all matters. And so I think on both the left and the right, there are extremes. We all know this. But what we've got to do is recognize that extreme language, that extreme violence, there's no place for it in America. There's just no place for it. What it does is it hurts all of us. It hurts all of us at the moment, and it hurts our future. And what type of country are we going to leave behind for our children? That's what we should be thinking about. And what we're seeing right now, I believe, is a crossroads. And we have decisions to make. And which direction do we want our country to go to? And for our democracy to devolve into violence and pain for future generations, I don't think anybody wants to see that. We love our country. We love everything we stand for. And you know what? It is okay to disagree. It is okay to have political discourse where we are challenging each other. That's what America is all about. But what makes us different and great in this country is that we resolve our differences at the ballot box, not at the end of a gun. And so this is a moment in time where we all have to use this terrible assassination as a moment to bring us all together, find our commonalities, focus on where we can work together, where we can cross the aisle on both sides and work together to find common solutions that work for the people of America.
You know, we had the 24th anniversary of 9/11. I know you were at Ground Zero, and I think back to, I was in seventh grade, and I think back to the day after and how united America was. You had members of Congress and Senate holding hands with people from the other party. And Congressman, you know, as we speak today, I just feel like we are so far from that moment. And even something like this, I mean, most people are having the conversation you and I are having, but you see just some disturbing stuff on social media. I hope, you know, the words that Congresswoman Tenney said and what you're saying, again, from both different parties, I hope you guys can come together. And like I said, lead by example. I always, as you know, invite that on my shows here on WBEN. And I'm hoping we see that in D.C. because I think that would be the best for America.
Oftentimes it takes a terrible tragedy to open people's eyes and bring people together. You don't like to see it, but you know what we need to do is bring everybody together. Use this as a moment. Use this as a moment to demonstrate to the world that we are better than what we're seeing. And violence is no way to conduct ourselves in this country. There is no place for it in America. And political violence must be rejected at every turn. And I'll certainly play my role in doing just that.
Now, you spoke of children and, you know, children and college students, obviously a lot more on social media, Congressman, than when you and I were younger. And when you were in the New York Senate, you co-sponsored a bill that prohibits social media companies from using algorithms on minors. Now, I think of, you know, all the stuff that that kids see from extremes in politics. I'm also thinking of that awful video that I definitely didn't want to see but came across my algorithm. Would you be for supporting something like that bill you sponsored in New York at a federal level?
Yeah, I certainly think it's something that we should look at. I mean, what we're seeing online, you know, all of our children are now being subjected to horrific violence every day. Online, this moment is no different than that. I mean, at every turn, all you need to do is put it in the search engine, and you can see whatever you want to see. I think that there has to be accountability with these social media entities, and we saw it in the horrific case of violence that came to our community back on May 14th, 2022, when 10 people were gunned down in cold blood on a Saturday afternoon shopping at Tops Friendly Markets on Jefferson because of the color of their skin. It was an attack on our community. It was an attack on Black America. It was a racist, motivated terrorist attack by an 18-year-old who was polluted by the internet. And so we have to work carefully to put guardrails in place to make sure that our children aren't being polluted and taken over by the cesspool of the internet. And, you know, there are certainly things that we have to look at in that regard.
You talk about coming together. I think that's legislation that we could get people on both sides of the aisle to unanimously pass through. It seems like common sense.
Yeah, I agree.
Congressman, we had this booked for a few weeks, and I want to get your thoughts now. Your district is in the city of Buffalo and beyond, but obviously we have a run for mayor. Sean Ryan has not posted on social media in over a month. I just want to know your thoughts on the campaign that he's running.
Well, look, I think Sean Ryan is going to be the next mayor of the city of Buffalo, and our community is going to rally and unite behind him to ensure that that's the case. I'm certainly supporting him. Him and I are working together to make sure that he's got the city's best interest moving forward, balancing the budget for the short and long term, keeping taxes in check, building more housing, fixing our infrastructure, growing our population. You know, we've got a lot of work to do here in the city of Buffalo and in our Western New York region, and we've got to tackle those challenges together. And, you know, I believe that Sean Ryan is going to meet the moment, and I'm working closely with him now to make sure that when it comes to my work in Washington, that the things that I'm doing there for Buffalo will ensure that we're getting the job done to put policies forward coming out of the federal government that in many cases are slamming the brakes on the progress that we're seeing coming out of here in the Buffalo and Western New York region. So we've got to really focus on working together, and I'll be doing that with Sean Ryan when he's elected mayor this November.
Congressman, you know, one of the things that I focus on so much in the city of Buffalo is downtown. I want to see a, you know, downtown that's bustling from sunup through sundown. I remember right before the pandemic, it seemed like we were on that trajectory downtown, and it really has struggled to get back there. Main Place Mall in the middle of Main Street, completely empty. What's your advice for the next mayor, if it's Sean Ryan, James Gardner, to get downtown, to get back to that trajectory we saw in 2019?
Well, I think that's going to happen. I think it's going to happen because we all have to make it happen. And you know, you just said it best, Joe. Right before the pandemic, I mean, we were rolling. We had great momentum, the wind at our back. You know, people were talking about Buffalo not only all over our region and in our state, but all over the country and the global community. Buffalo's hot. If you look at our housing market right now, we're the hottest housing market in the country according to Zillow, years in a row. So look, we've got so much to offer here in our community. What we've got to do is entice the developers to make those investments, recognize that it is a strong, positive investment in our community. We also have to do what we can from the public sector to incentivize private sector development and job creation. We know that when public investment occurs, whether that's in infrastructure, whether that's in tax incentives to help get a developer off the ground to get a project started, that in fact will spur the economy. And look, money follows money. It's true when you're talking about the stock market. It's true when you're talking about development. So we've got to make sure that our investors are continuing to focus on the city of Buffalo. If the public sector has a role to play in incentivizing that to make sure that those projects get off the ground, then that is an obligation that we have to make sure happens. But focusing on the center of the city, I think, is essential, but also making sure that the benefits of that trickle out into the neighborhoods. Every neighborhood in the city of Buffalo, every community part of the city of Buffalo and our region should be strong and robust and interconnected. So, you know, we're excited about the opportunity that we have before us to work with Senator Sean Ryan, who I believe will be the next mayor of the city of Buffalo, putting in place a focused agenda on making public sector investment that will create private sector development. So it's the name of the game. It's what we've seen over time, and I expect that to happen.
Congressman, you posted about FEMA a few days ago, and we've heard a lot of talk about what's going to be done to FEMA, what has been done to FEMA. What is the state of FEMA today, and what do you see going forward?
Well, I'm the ranking member of the House Subcommittee on Emergency Management and Technology, and I'm deeply concerned that we have a president that's actively working to weaken the federal government's ability to support state and local disaster preparedness and response. This week, I joined my colleagues, Congresswoman Castor and Wasserman Schultz, to speak about the response of FEMA to the hurricane season in Florida with tornadoes. You know, just less than 3 years ago, 47 people died in our community when we saw an extreme winter event. We know that these events are becoming more commonplace and stronger than ever before. You know, whether it's hurricanes or tornadoes or blizzards or wildfires or the horrific floods like we just saw down in Texas where hundreds of people perished, FEMA has a critical role to play. And unfortunately, what we're seeing right now out of this administration is a slashing of the FEMA workforce that's cutting resiliency grants and botching disaster responses and even calling for FEMA's elimination. So what we've got to do is recognize that FEMA has a critical role to play in these emergency responses. And when it comes to disaster response and relief, our community is dependent upon FEMA grants during those horrific emergencies as well. So what we've got to do is be smart about our investments, ensure that communities never doubt the federal government's readiness or commitment when disaster strikes. And I've even introduced a bill, Joe, that would strengthen FEMA's response to these extreme winter weather events, that would put the extreme winter weather that we get here in Western New York and across the northern region of the United States on par with other disasters across the country, which would unlock critical federal resources that's vital for cities like Buffalo and the surrounding communities. When these winter events strike Western New York, it's the local communities that have to respond. And oftentimes the state comes in if necessary, if it's that level. But if FEMA's not there, it ends up being the local communities and the state flipping the bill. So what we've got to do and what my bill does is it creates a threshold that actually brings funding into our community when we need it the most, when we're responding to these winter events. So we're looking forward to hopefully moving that forward through the Homeland Security Committee.
And looking forward to an update on that. Congressman Tim Kennedy, I want to thank you for being a regular on the show, always giving us some time on Sundays, and again, leading by example. We don't see the politics eye to eye, but we always have a great conversation, and I thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you, Joe. Here's another thing we can all agree on. Go Bills.
Go Bills, indeed. Go Bills. Thank you so much.
Right.
That is
have a great one.
Thanks, you too. That is Congressman Tim Kennedy. Joining us, if you missed any of that interview, you can go back on demand and find it. If you missed any of the Claudia Tenney interview, you can go back on demand and find that at WBEN.com and on the Odyssey app. When we come back, the managing partner at O'Donnell & Associates, Jack O'Donnell, joins us. It's Hardline on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.